Welcome. Hey. Yeah. Welcome to Salty Church. Glad you are here. And we're going to get rolling on this second installment of our series that we're doing. And as we get started, I wanted to share with you a couple things I found this week. There was a list of interesting, kind of like trivia a little bit, but it was like facts that are true but don't really seem true. Because based on what I was talking about last week, I thought this would be really interesting. Anybody remember the movie Monsters, Inc.? Like a kid's animated movie coming out of the closet and scaring kids. And also, it was a funny movie. Here's the fact about that movie. Monsters, Inc. was released closer to the fall of the Berlin Wall than it was to today. Yeah, exactly. See, it doesn't seem right. Like, no way. Come on, really? It is. Look it up. This is one of my favorite ones. That Mount Everest, if you were to measure the height of Mount Everest, if you look it up, typically what they say is that Mount Everest is 29,002 feet high. But in reality, it's 29,000 feet even. But they added the 2 feet because nobody would really believe it was exactly even, 29,000 feet. That is fascinating to me. Did you know that the typical cloud weighs 1.1 million pounds? Well, exactly. Look it up. I'm just, don't shoot me here. I'm just saying. That's what they, some of these I had to look up. It's fascinating. You know, all the ants in the world weigh about the same as all the people in the world. Which that's pretty believable there, I guess. But the cloud one, that was, you know, there's enough, watch this, there's enough space between the Earth and the Moon to fit all the rest of the planets in our solar system. Yeah, it seems so close, doesn't it? Yeah, so you got these interesting things. And coming out of the topic last week, I was talking about how we feel. You know, it just reminds me again that truth always supersedes intuition. Truth supersedes it. You know, how you feel is important. You know, it's critical to who you are. But when we're led by how we feel and solely on our intuition, sometimes we just get off track because some things are very true and doesn't seem like it. And others, seem true, but it isn't. So, you know, it gets confusing sometimes. So to live by truth. And so that's what I talked about last week, starting off with this understanding that feelings is what I said last week. Feelings are not holy. So I had some signs. I'm going to change it up a little bit this week. Feelings are not holy. This was last week, building towards what I wanted to do for this week. And, because how you feel is important. God gave you feelings. You need to pay attention to your feelings. But feelings are probably morally neutral. The question is when you feel something, what are you going to do with that feeling? And so you can be angry in a good way or a bad way. You can be jealous. God is a jealous God in a good way, and we can be jealous in a bad way. So we can have lots of feelings, but choose to express them in a way that is holy or unholy. You see where we're going with this. So last week, I talked quite a bit about that because we got to be careful that as we're living this life of faith, as we direct our path, where are you going? How do you make the decisions you make based on what? And if all we do is make decisions based on how we feel only and not let our feelings be influenced by truth, then we get in trouble. We get off track. And a lot of times we feel we're on the right track, but we're heading down this road. But the truth of God and God's word redirects us. It helps us to understand. That's what repentance is. Repentance is, there we go. I realized I was going the wrong direction. Now I'm heading in the right place. And so I talked quite a bit about that and wanted to challenge you with it. And all of that was a setup for where I wanted to go for this week. And this week was one of those topics that I'd just rather not talk about. I'm most uncomfortable today than I am most any other time because I want to talk about the one subject that is pretty much everybody's favorite subject, but the one that, while is the most exciting, is also the most painful. And the last one you want to hear about in church. Yeah, so we're going to talk about sex today in church. Yeah. Well, because As we go through life, I mean, talking about feelings, I mean, that is one of the most powerful things that has influenced not only our own lives, but all of society. And it has a huge influence on our culture. And so often, you know, well, nowadays, and especially living in the world that we're living in, it's really easy just to, you know what, I'm going to do what I want to do, and based on how I feel, my intuition, whatever, and just, you know, what God has to say is outmoded, outdated, and is lost touch with all of the rest of our culture, right? And so as we go through life as believers, we need to know, are we going in the right direction or not? And so while I said last week that feelings are not holy, this week I would say in a very similar way, all of that is a setup for to say this week, that sex is not holy, which sounds counterintuitive, but think about it. Sex is most, everyone has a God-given expression, a capacity to express yourselves sexually. How you feel and who you're attracted to and all that stuff is a part of who you are. It is what it is, and I think is relatively morally neutral. But how you choose to express that can be either holy or not. And as believers, we strongly have a sense of that. Culturally, it's like that's absurd. Right? So as believers, as we dig into this, as we get deeper and deeper, as I study, it is exceedingly difficult and has all kinds of implications and it can be just thoroughly awkward, right? And painful and freeing. So I think we need to tackle the most difficult subjects, and this is it. So I want to spend some time here because I think we live in a world that just seems lost. And just making their way however they want to go. And I think God has a better way. God has a better plan. So I want to dig into this. And more so, the way I want to do this is not necessarily talk about what a whole lot. Because sometimes if you go to Sunday school or church and there's an expectation, there's a list of do's and don'ts, right? Some things, there's a list over here. This is what God says is cool. And then everything else is not cool. We can talk about what is holy, what is not holy. But what I want to do is taking a whole nother level deeper, and I think this is critical to do, is talk about why. Why is, God says what is holy is one man and a woman in marriage. God says that is holy, and everything else is not. And we can talk about that, talk about the implications of it, and the difficulty of all of that stuff. Great, we want to get there, but more importantly, why? And I found that was one of the most difficult questions I've ever had to answer. As whether it's related to sex or anything else, as God speaks and as God gives us direction, he says what he says, and we can read some Bible verses that seem very clear about certain kinds of things, but to dig deeper and to understand why he says that, that's a whole other level. And that's where I want to give you some pieces, I think, that'll help, because this is a very difficult subject. I think about, as we get started this way, that when it comes to sex and sexuality, it's kind of like a fire. If you have a fire at your house on a cold winter's day, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, kind of depends, right? If you don't have a fireplace, I'd say it's pretty much always bad. I happen to have a fireplace in my house, and so I, once in a while, put some logs in there, I'll try to light a fire, and it warms up, it's nice, sometimes it can be romantic and all that. Fire in a fireplace is awesome, and it's an amazing thing. Take that fire out of the fireplace, I've got some stone flooring in my, in the one room where we had the fireplace. I could take those logs out of the fireplace and put them in the living room floor there, and kind of play with that fire, and it just, because guys like to play with fire, and so we can play with fire and do some really cool stuff with it, but gosh, you sure don't want to leave it there, do you? You can play with fire, and it'd be exciting, but then it's really probably not a good idea to play with fire in your house, outside the fireplace. And I think that's where we're going with this, as far as God's instructions are concerned. So I want to start with 1 Thessalonians 4, one of just a whole list of scriptures that we could use to dig into this topic, but consider this. He says this, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. Now, if you don't know what that word means, it's holy. This is what God wants. In every aspect of your life, he wants this. All of scripture is leading us to just calling us and urging us to go in this direction. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. In this case, a very specific topic. That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. So Scripture is pretty definitive here that some forms of sexual expression are not holy and are not honorable. And we all know that as well. There's all kind of sexual abuse and all kind of variety of forms that are terrible things. So not all sex is holy, and God wants us to know what that is and to pursue that. He said we should not be like, with passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this manner no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister, the Lord will punish all those who commit such sins as we told you and warned you about. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects, watch this, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject the human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. As we read through this scripture, you know, is there any question that God cares about this topic? Because many would say, well, you know what, why does God care what somebody does in the privacy of their own bedroom, right? Why, you know, who cares? Just live and let live kind of stuff. But apparently, God seems to care. Have you thought about why? Part of the answer, as I dig into the why, goes back to where I was at a few weeks ago when we talked about the who God is and the nature of God, asking difficult questions like explain the Trinity, for instance. And as I tried to do that, I began to understand that the Trinity holds the key, I think, to a lot of other understandings on a lot of other topics in Scripture, including this one. Think about who is God. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the three in one. In that we have, you know, God is not the same as the Son, and he's not the same as the Spirit. The Spirit's not the same as the Father. We have three. We have diversity in that. We have community in it. As he said, let us make man in our image. There's relationship between them. And there's also unity. So I talked about this. If you missed it, go back online and you can watch it. I explained this for about 20 minutes. That in the Trinity, we have three things. Diversity, unity, and community. It's the very nature of God. And so when it says, the scripture says that God is holy, holy is not a list of like do's and don'ts kind of thing, which we often see it that way. Holy is speaks of the nature of who he is. And holy defines their relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And anything that reflects that nature is holy. And anything that diminishes the nature of God is unholy. So think about it this way. Genesis 2, verse 24. In the very beginning, there's Adam and Eve. He created them from scratch, right? And he says, in the beginning, this is God's idea. He invented this idea. He said, therefore, a man should leave his father and mother. Think about in Genesis 2, how many fathers and mothers were there? None. You know, there were none. But nevertheless, when he says, he puts these two people together, let me give you this principle. A man's going to leave his father and mother. This is a universal principle all through Scripture. And he's going to hold fast to his wife, and they will become one flesh. In marriage, we have community, two people in relationship with each other, right? We have diversity. Duh. Yeah, talk about different kinds of things, male, female. How about that? We have community, we have diversity, and we also have unity. And the two shall become one. So how's your other half doing? How's your better half? We say that sometimes, right? Two halves make a whole. We are, Scripture says that when he created Adam, he said, it's not good for a man to be alone, that we need that companionship, that community. In marriage, we have unity, community, and diversity. And I think God gave us marriage partly to give us a picture of who he is. And he says, be holy, because I am holy. And here's another aspect of this whole thing that's really important. As we read in Scripture later about sin and all things that are not holy, the wages of sin is, okay? So if you're going down this path, there is brokenness and destruction that leads to death. On the other hand, as you go this way, you find healing and hope and you find life. So what we want to do as a people, whether we're talking about sex or any other kind of topic, what we want to do is pursue holy because we want life. We don't want death. And so I think God has given us some tools and some help and some guidelines on how to best live. Jesus said, I came to give you life, abundant life. So be holy because I am holy. So what does it look like for us to reflect his nature? So part of this is about God's nature for sure. But also a big part of it is in that what I said is protection. We think about it this way. People are like, well, you know, God needs to just change and get up with the times, you know, because, you know, we live in a different kind of world nowadays, right? Yeah, we kind of slip into that sometimes, but nevertheless, you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and people really are the same as well. And God is constantly wanting to guide us because he loves us and wants to point us in this direction. And so we talk about sexuality. You know, I don't know why I thought this is really weird, but nevertheless, you know, it's not at all like cutting your fingernails or cutting your hair. if you were to trim your hair and you might, you know, you look better, or you might cut your nails, you may feel better, or trim it, whatever, get your nails done. But that's a purely physical activity, right? Sex, on the other hand, is not just a physical activity, and we know this. I mean, scientifically, we know that sex is always a psychological, mental activity as well, your body and mind. And in the same way, Scripture teaches that sex is also a very spiritual activity, and that here we know that sex always affects the spirit. It always affects the mind while it is a physical activity. And so God cares not just about what you do. He cares about who you are. And are you healthy? And how are you doing? And he wants to give us the guidelines we need to find life. So he gives us some guidelines to protect us from death. So theologically, we know this is a big subject. Body, mind, soul, spirit, all of this is in this one activity. That's why it's so amazing and awesome and terrible and painful. And so many have experiences that just wreck our hearts as we think about what happened years ago, and it never really seems to leave you. This is a very gripping topic for sure, and God cares. So he says in 1 Corinthians 6, flee from sexual immorality. All of the sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the Holy Spirit who is in you? That you are a very spiritual person. And this is one of those activities that always affects you and affects your spirit. So, God, what do you want? He says, in the beginning, the man will leave his father and mother and two will be united as one. What God has put together, let no one separate. Jesus said that many times, quoting Genesis 2. What God joins together, let two become one, let no one separate. Why? Because unity brings life and division is brokenness brings death. And so in marriage, we see all kinds of wondrous things about God and how even sex as in that, I mean, God gave us that for fun, you know, amen? Yes, good. As well as procreation and the psychological connections and the spiritual connections that two people have together, right? That it heals and it helps to repair brokenness and it further strengthens this mysterious bond that two people can have together. And God says, yeah, awesome. In the fireplace, let the fire burn, right? Awesome, that's good. But outside of that, you're messing around with something that's powerful, and you get it wrong, it's going to bring harm, and we know that to be true. So I think about, sex outside of marriage, so I would just call that like dating sex, and it's just, you know, that's the world that we live in. There's this expectation, you know, but then there's, you know, folks that are creating psychological bonds. They don't even know each other. And then they're wondering why there's so much brokenness in their lives because they've invited this powerful tool into their life and yet dismiss it like it's meaningless, and it's not. You know, how many times people have said, you've heard other people, not you, but other people said, you know, I don't know what I was thinking. Right? And you know what? God gave us sexuality to help mask our thinking. I mean, in marriage, when things aren't going so well, sexuality is God-given to help repair some brokenness in marriage. And so often when you jump into a sexual relationship, you don't even know that person later on. You're like, I don't know what I was thinking because you weren't thinking. You're led by how you feel rather than by the truth. And it leads to brokenness. I was talking to Brian about this, and he was reminding me, Craig Rochelle, as he teaches this subject, talks about, you know, dating relationships, that so often dating relationships are just marriage practice. That many are practicing being married, and so they think a good part of that is the sexual benefits that come in marriage. But what happens is there's these, you know, how often people date and break up, and then we end up practicing divorce. And you think about how painful that is. And God says, there's a better way. Let me protect you from that. And then, you know, from, you know, the premarital sex, that kind of stuff, but then those who, you know, take their relationship a little further are going to live together. So we're committed to each other. We're going to share our finances. We're going to share, you know, our relationships. We're going to share everything together. And so they're continuing to practice marriage, but at a greater level. But here's the thing, for especially for believers here who are living together but not married, what is that? Isn't that a cheap imitation of marriage? And Jesus and God, they're saying, you know, the two shall become one. And when God puts something together, let no one separate. So we're going to live together with all the benefits of living together that comes along. We're going to be joined in every other way, but we don't want God in our relationship. Why? Would you say, I don't want God in my relationships? And yet, as believers, so often, that's what we do. I have this picture of this road, and we have to make these choices all the time. And I have a picture that so many are like this. So, God, I get you. I know what you're saying, and, you know, I believe it, and I love you. And I trust you, and I worship you. So, God, I expect that you're going to help me, and you're going to protect me. And, God, I recognize who you are and what you're about. And so we acknowledge God with our eyes, but not with our feet. And I think that's what faithful means. It's not just this intellectual activity where we recognize, oh, God, I believe in you. It's no, God, I believe in you. And I'm gonna trust you. And I've got all this junk I'm dealing with and wrestling with, and I'm drawn here. And sometimes I mess it up. But God, I believe in you. And to begin to understand in every way, but especially in this subject, to putting your faith in him, not just with your eyes, but also with your feet. To be faithful with your eyes and with your feet. I think that's the calling for us. Because we know that this is such a difficult thing. And there's so much brokenness in it. And why, you know, especially the dating relationships and living together and those kind of things. My thing is, here's a definitive statement for you. Don't be cheap. You're more valuable than that. God wants to protect you and care for you. Don't you trust what he believes? Let's go back to this one scripture. I want to show you this because I left out a verse on purpose. 1 Corinthians 6. Flee from sexual immorality. All of the sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually, this is a different kind of sin. God cares about you enough to give you this direction, as difficult as it is. Don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Next verse. You were bought with a price. You are valuable. You know, you think about what you're worth at work. You know what you get paid at work? You get paid exactly what you're worth. You don't feel like it. You think you're a whole lot more value, but if you were, you'd have gotten a raise by now. It's hard advice, I know. We might argue this point, but let me tell you, you are worth what you get paid, or what somebody's willing to pay you, right? Consider this. What are you worth? What was God willing to pay for you? All, right? Father becomes son who gives his life for you so that you might be holy. You are not your own. When you're a believer in Christ, you've given your life to him. You don't have a say-so anymore. That you are bound and committed to pursue holy. And you are valuable. You are important. You are worth something. Don't cheapen yourself by living the way everyone else lives. God wants better for you. And as we go through this topic, and we, you know, there's so much more I want to do, what I'm very conscious of is this. When it comes to this topic, we are all guilty. Guilty, all of us, every single one. I don't care who you are, guilty. If you feel like I'm picking on you, fine. We're all guilty. I'm guilty. I'm picking on me. Jesus said, whenever you look at somebody wrong, you're guilty. You've committed adultery in your heart. So we're all guilty. So what do you do with that? You fall down, you mess it up, you've been heading that direction. What do you do? So I love the scripture. I love the word that God is full of grace because of his love, because of the price that he paid for you. He says there's a better way, and it's yours. I love 1 John 1:9, that if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive. Huge word, A-L-L. Do you believe that? All. Hey, if you confess your sin, he is faithful. God is always faithful. He never messes it up. He's faithful to forgive and to cleanse you from, say that word, all. Say it, all. Because you don't believe it. A lot of you don't believe that word. You think, I know what I did, and it's killing me what I did back then or recently, or those things that you hold on to those sins, and God says, what are you doing? I promise you. Psalm 103, verse 12. It's a promise. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. As a believer in Christ, I am holy. Not because I perform well, but because Jesus performed well. And so, yeah, we're guilty. We've messed it up. So what do? We honor our God with both our eyes and our feet. So God, I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to chase after you. I'm going to live holy because you are holy. Because I know this is the direction that brings life, and that's the direction that brings death. I mean, when I say death, it could be physical, but I mean, just say the word divorce. That's death. Nobody wants that. We want life. So be faithful with both your eyes, not just this. Hey, God. No. God, I'm going to follow you in all of my ways. So be faithful with both your eyes and your feet. I want to challenge you according to Colossians 3. Put to death whatever is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. I don't even get to say the word covetousness. It's wanting what doesn't belong to you. That's idolatry. God says, be faithful. So I know this is a very difficult topic that hits just about all of us, some harder more than others. But God has given us hope. He has given us his son, and that he forgives and cleanses all. And because you have been forgiven, because you've been set free, be faithful. So that might require some very difficult choices in your life, some things you're going to have to put aside or change. Extremely difficult, maybe painful. But sometimes in that pain can come greater healing. I want to invite you to consider what that means in your life. If you want help with that, we're here as a church. We're going to close with a song, and the song is about the love of God and what he does. That regardless of how you feel right now, the way I want you to feel is full of hope. And that God can restore and renew and heal all every part of you because of his love. He loves you. Regardless of what it is you've ever done or will do. But he doesn't want you to head here. He loves you. He's like, sometimes it's hard to. That's the calling. I want to invite you to that. If you want help as a church, we're here for you. Whether you fill out a card and prayer team meets afterwards, stick around. We can pray for you, pray with you, whatever it might be. We want to be here for you to help you. But ultimately, you have to make that decision and choose him. So with that said, for now, let's trust in his love for us. Knowing that no matter how many times we mess it up, he's made a way. So if you would you stand? So I just want to, God, I just pray for healing and for hope in the midst of this broken, screwed up world that we live in and the pain that we feel. God, that you can restore and renew all of us as we turn to you. God, heal the brokenhearted. God, step in and restore and renew your people who come to you. God, give us that hope. Fill us with your love today. As we worship you now in Jesus' name.